Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Top of the table, 2 points clear. Evening, gentlemen. Pete, excited times because Spencer's back. He's kind of recovered from COVID-ish, and now he's had to isolate again because of moronic variant, and Gina sitting next to someone with moronic variant or something. So, but Spencer, you managed to catch one game this month, didn't you?
Yes, it's one better than none.
And you saw some goals, but we'll get onto that later. But back on the panel for the first time in God knows, God over a year, is Stuart Evans. I think he missed being part of the podcast team. So he was knocking at my door yesterday morning at 5 a.m. begging to like be let back on. Though we had to oblige, didn't we, gents?
I don't think he was that desperate.
No.
I don't even know where you live,
Jace. Oh, that wasn't you at 5 a.m. God, I must get a CCTV camera installed then. Oh, I thought it was. Oh, maybe it was Pete in his drunken state after an all-weekend bender or something like that, eh? Or was that you, Pete?
How dare you?
Well, saying that, because Spencer's been off with his COVID, you haven't had your drinking buddy, so you haven't been having someone to watch you back, have you, at the moment?
No, I've missed Spence, but I have actually.
Oh, that's nice. Whenever I'm away, you never say you miss me, but you say you miss.
No, I never miss you. I have to put up with you on commentary. It's bad.
Yeah.
I have had a couple of evenings with some of the players, so that's been quite nice.
He's been hanging out in my new car.
Yeah. From the Burlington to Manuka. Yeah, yeah.
Pete's and the last melon. Don't forget the last melon.
Friend.
Oh, and with Adam and Adam at the castle. That was quite an interesting evening.
Here we go. We're not even 2 minutes into the podcast. He's already name dropping. Like, and Stu, so you're gonna have to sort him out.
I just let him get on with it, mate. He's trying to pretend he's 25 again, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got more of a social life than me, mate.
Yeah, and me as well. To be fair, like in a jet lag state that I always am in.
He'll be buying a convertible next.
Oh, he's already. Yeah, well, once his Merc's gone, I mean, he's going to get his Netflix in a crisis, or is it an Audi TT? Would that be EPC Pete TT? You know, the awkward silence and laugh there makes me think that he's actually considered getting an Audi TT.
He's already ordered one.
You know, it's like I'll probably end up with a hairdresser's car or some sort of
Audi TT.
Little Peugeot.
Yeah, those little convertibles. Pete, I think I won this month's prediction because although we didn't play as many league games because of our progress in the trophy, you said, as usual, we'll win everything. But we obviously sadly dropped points to Chesnut. So does that mean I'm this month's winner or not? Or is it null and voided like everything else is normally?
Yeah, we're just null and void it.
We'll run through the game shortly, but I think what we need to touch on startups, because what we ended last podcast with was Stu talking about, because if you remember rightly, we recorded the podcast to be released on the night of the FA Youth game. but we'd already recorded before. And also, we know the guys have gone out of the FA Youth Cup. But Stu, the game against Charlton Athletic was a great. I think it was the boys could be proud of that. And you must have been very proud as one of the coaches for the youth setup there.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah, the boys did very well. I'm trying to think back to it now, mate. Lots happened since then.
It was 3-1,
yeah,
maybe... wasn't it? Was it
3-1? 3-1. Yeah, the boys did, mate. The boys did awesome. I think it's the same old scenario from memory in terms of what it's been for the last few weeks, where we missed a couple of chances early doors to go 1-0 up.
Literally straight away, wasn't it? I couldn't believe it. Yeah. How did they not go in?
Yeah, exactly. But it's the same story for the last two games with us as well, the first team. So, yeah, the boys are doing really well, mate, really well. Went to part of the set-up on Monday night at Eastbourne Borough, beat them 4-2, I believe. We're 2-0 down at half-time. I've got really bad memory when it comes to games, even though it's only a couple of days ago. So 2-0 down at half-time, came back. So, yeah, they're top of the league by some points at the moment as well. So the 18s are flying, absolutely flying at the moment, fair play to them, mate. Fair play.
Well, as we always say, it's the future of the club. So when we're seeing results coming out like that, and we're drawing decent crowds, I think we got 600 or that game against Charlton Athletic, was it roughly around there, and to see them being able to draw that amount and actually watch a really enjoyable game of football, where at some stage, as you say, I think we were unlucky not to take anything from the game. I mean, Charlton must have been quite pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't too involved with talking to the... I don't like talking to opposition coaches at the end of the game, so I just get crack on and get stuff done. But, from what Nathan Hinch been telling me, they were obviously very surprised at what we were about. And there's not many teams out there that would go out there with the passion and being brave on the football and wanting to take the game to Charlton. I think a lot of the boys, a lot of teams would sink back and be a bit kind of nervous going forward and maybe let the occasion get to them a bit. And I don't think our boys did. I think they did themselves really, really proud in terms of how we always play on the front foot, take the game to them, nice and brave on the ball. And I've a testament to Nathan to getting them to play that way. Because it'd be easy for any team to change their style against a higher ranked team, whether it was sit back to a four at the back or change shape altogether. And we just didn't do that. We stayed true to what we believe in and set the game to them, really. It's just fair play to them.
And if they've got those early two goals or even one goal, I think the game complexity would have completely changed.
Yeah, I've said that a lot over the last two or three weeks.
But to be honest, as we all know on here, like, you know, Charlton is my other team, the other team that a boyhood club that I supported. I have to say also it's Marcus and Steve Hoare, who sadly obviously passed away a couple of months ago now. But one thing I have to give a shout out to Charlton is when they donated that Charlton shirt with his name on the back. I thought that was a really lovely touch to Marcus, and I know Marcus was very touched by that.
Yeah, mate, honestly, I've gutted that Steve didn't get the chance to see Charlton come in.
Yeah, I think Marcus was quite emotional that night because he'd always said to him and his dad that he'd love to see Charlton at Woodside. And, sadly, his dad weren't there to see it with him. But I'm sure he was looking down at it from above and he was enjoying what he saw because the boys did him proud. And, you know, Charlton to do that. And Marcus was telling me actually at the Seaford game that he didn't even know that was happening, so whoever sorted that out for him, like, you know, fair play and thank you, because it meant a lot to a club stalwart and obviously a memory of his dad. So, you know, good on you, Charlton. I think we could all say and agree with that.
Definitely.
But going on to the men's team now, it's been a brilliant month, a little bit of a hiccup towards the end, but only a little hiccup. We're still top of the league with 2 points clear. We've got 2 games in hand over third place. So, you know, we can extend that. It's us and Enfield right up there at the top. Gents, thoughts? I mean, Spencer, sitting from the living room, really, which you've been sort of accustomed to this past month, must have been quite a nice surprise to sort of see us doing so well. And, you know, maybe you need to stay away, mate. I'm not saying anything, but...
I was a bit worried that, no one would want to see me back. And, yeah. It's lucky we did win the Seaford game that I did come on. So it would have been
like, it was a bit iffy at first, wasn't it?
But it's been a brilliant month. It's been a busy month.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of games in the last month. You know, it's a busy period. You know, November into Christmas, New Year.
Yeah, hey, tell me, obviously you've suffered.
You know,
with
it's
the COVID.
A key part of the season.
You've suffered with the COVID, Spence, and obviously been at home R&R and resting, recuperating. Have you missed
Like, has there been a real urge? I mean, I know you've been really under the weather, but have you really missed the buzz of getting up on a Saturday and Gina kicking you out? I bet Gina's missed it as well, because she can kick you out of the house for a few hours, can't she?
Peace and quiet. But no, obviously you miss seeing the football, miss the atmosphere, miss seeing your mates. But to be fair, when you're just stuck in bed and literally just can't, there's not much you could do. And to be the absolutely honest answer, I was completely out of it for probably 2 weeks. I mean, like, out of it. So that's that. But the results have been fantastic. So you say there's been the odd hiccup. No rap the trophy, but I'd rather us go up and have a great league campaign. We've got some good results against some decent teams. It's great to see, it's a real team effort. We've got goals, assists coming from all angles. We're not reliant on one or two players, which is the impression I get from other teams. So, we've got Ollie's banged in a few, but, goals are coming from all over the pitch. So, it's really encouraging.
Yeah, and Pete, you've missed a game. What is going on? A competitive fixture. Excuses. Is that because you were dancing too hard at the Funky Turtle, whatever it's called, or whatever it's called in Worthing?
The Last Melon.
That's it. I knew it had some weird name. Is that because you and Jasper were break dancing on the dance floor? That's why Jasper's out injured now as well.
No, Jasper couldn't go that night because he got injured at the game.
Yeah, so that was the game. But Pete, I mean, coming obviously view from the commentary booth, a strong month, one that we can look back on. And again, we've played some top teams and got some good results. And we're at the top by two, and you couldn't ask for anything more. And if we can stay like that by the end of December, we'd be very happy rebels.
Yeah, as I've said, there's not one game, even with the two defeats, neither of those defeats were Rotherham City, in my opinion. Dorking just had that extra bit of quality in the final third. Chesant didn't have it. I think they got fortunate. Jesse Starkey tried to play a pass on the edge of his box and it caught the forward's foot and fell straight into the path of, I can't remember his name, and he slammed it in the net for 2-1. And then it was all Worthing second half. Aaron Racine's head wasn't working. He must have had
hit the post, went wide.
Must have had three good chances and other chances that went across the box. And it was. There's nothing to be negative about.
Not at all. It's that nervy thing about playing out the back. I always get so nervous on commentary and you just sit there laughing. But, it was that mistake.
That's the way Adam sets the team up. It's the way Adam likes to play the game, to play football. And, if fans are going to moan about it, I think they're watching the wrong team. If you want to go and see a team that lumps it straight up to the front men and it's ugly, then go and do that. We're going to concede goals from times. There's going to be mistakes at the back, but it's the way we set up. I prefer the attractive football we play, the attractive attacking football, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
But when the opposition apparently got 10 players beyond the ball, you need to try and draw them out. Hoof the ball up, it's just going to come straight back.
You're very right. Well, we started the month off in Wingate, a very, very, very cold November night, Pete and I in North London, a good 2-1 victory. I was frozen to the bone. I think that's the time I decided to go and get some thermal trousers after the game, because I think it's got to that point now where I've forgotten how cold it gets over the winter, because we haven't really had winter football for, over a year, nearly 2 years now, have we?
That's a very good point, because I popped to the academy this afternoon. I was absolutely freezing. And I was like, I couldn't remember. Forgot how cold it was. And we can see Stuart's out now, isn't it? Walking around in the cold at Woodside.
Yeah, I even think Stu was nice and warm, though. I remember speaking to him outside of Wingate just as on my way out. He frozen to the bone carrying all that kit back to his car.
Yeah, always cold, mate.
Yeah, I mean, how many layers have you got on under that kappa jacket, or is it just a kappa jacket? Have you got a thermal top and trousers on?
I've got two jumpers, a t-shirt, and a kappa jacket.
There you go, mate.
Chilling, man.
I know, it's like, well, I was straight to Decathlon the next day with my wife, and like, straight there, £5 thermal leggings sorted. That's been my go-to every night game now. Yeah, but we Alfie Young returned to Woodside Road and saw defeat at the hands of Worthing, his former club.
He nearly bloody scored as well.
Do you know what I always think without, like, you know, players that return to clubs, you know, I'm sure he would have been very respectful, but I always wonder how they'll react if that had gone in. You know, do they run away celebrating? But knowing what Alfie's nature was like, he probably would have just stood there and just went like that and then gone back to the centre circle. But I wasn't at that game, Pete. Good result against Potters, because they are a good team, Potters, but one of those sort of mid to top table teams.
Yeah, again, you know, all I can say about Worthing's performance is every game we just dominate. So I'm not going to, at least Potters Bar did come out and try and play us, which was a positive, rather than some of these teams who try and sit back. So yeah, it was a decent game.
Yeah, no, it was. But then we went into the big one of the month, and the one I was most looking forward to was the FA Trophy against what could be league opposition next season, Hayes and Yedding, away at their Ted Lasso Stadium, as we like to remember, which looks 10 times better on Ted Lasso than it does in real person, with a bar outside the stadium around the back, which they shut during a match, which is very peculiar because a guy at a barman wanted to watch it. No running toilets or water, so they had portaloos, which... By the end of it, I'd hate to see what that smelt like after a game that was maybe more attended than that one was, because that stank. It was horrible. I think we were going a bit delusional with the cold as well, Pete, because we ended up plane spotting of the Heathrow runway, didn't we?
Well, you did.
Well, you thought it was good to have live updates of what aircraft landed from where.
Yeah, you like to say 296 at that game, which is...
disappointing.
Like, yeah, you say it's a parallel league to us. So, yeah for him, just at least 100 of those were working.
Yeah. But from what I was expecting was, I thought we were going to be challenged a lot more than we were. And yes, Hayes had a couple of spells, but we were dominant. Like, we were absolutely dominant in that game. And everyone said before, well, we weren't the favourites. We were the underdogs by far. And from what I read, and I thought we completely outclassed and outplayed them. And to be honest, as some of the away boys have said, like, if that's what that league brings, then, you know, that's an easy league, because I don't think them being top of their league, they didn't bring much at all with a full strength team.
No. And they've only lost their first game of the season on Saturday, just gone.
Yeah.
As if their first defeat in the league. Yeah. So, and you look at the way we dominated them. So, again, another positive.
And if you're anyone from Hayes and Yedding are listening, please can you return our piano, our music stand that we put the commentary on, because I stupidly left it in the bar and no one's replied to Gareth or Vaz. So they probably sold it to raise some money to plumb in their bloody toilets or something.
don't tell Adam that.
What?
Not the man. Not Adam Hinch, Adam, the video man, because he got that for us.
Yeah, no, I won't. Yeah, but he knows already, doesn't he? We need to chase them. Gareth, get sorted. Fill up on pizza next week and get sorted and rush it out to the stand. Into the next round.
He struggles to get me a team sheet, mate.
Yeah, I know. Bless him. Well, we got drawn to Dorking, which will be played later on in the month, but we went away that following Tuesday to Hornchurch, freezing cold in Essex, London-Essex border, and a great 3-1 win. As I nicknamed the Hornchurch Karen, I was going to get filthy looks at Adam, filming Adam and me turning around every time they played. I mean, Hornchurch played dirty that game. And Pete, you could agree.
Yeah, totally agree.
I mean, their keeper never got sent off. I mean, Stu, what did you think about that situation? That their goalkeeper on that Hornchurch game, like, completely shoving over. I can't remember who it was, but completely shoving off the ball. It should have been a red card. Meekums, yeah.
I don't really care, mate, if I'm honest with you. At the end of the day, like, if they want to lure themselves to do stuff like that, then we just got to ride through it. And as soon as players start doing that, you know they're getting frustrated and getting wound up. And the only reason why they're getting wound up is because we're dominating games of football. So, yeah. I'm not that. To be honest, I'll take that as a good sign.
Yeah, I think we're getting right under their skin. Yeah, and Spencer, I know you would have. You wanted to go to Hornchurch this season, didn't you? So I know you were a bit gutted about that, because I know it was on a rescheduled night game, but I know if it was the original game, you were quite looking forward to going to that.
Yeah, it's an old haunt of mine, Hornchurch.
Yeah. Nice little ground, actually. I know Pete would have quite liked it if he wasn't a commentator, because the bar that was overlooking the pitch there, and you could have a nice pint in the warm and look at the pitch and not miss any of the action, Pete.
Would have been nice, wouldn't it?
It would have been. It was cold that night.
Except I was driving as well, driving the green machine.
Yeah, Mr. Minibus himself over there. We went, and then we went on the following weekend to face Chesson.
You're jumping ahead a bit because, as I mentioned, Carl Brand's header at Hornchurch.
Okay.
Exceptional header to make it 3-1.
Yeah, exceptional header. It was really good. Bullet header, wasn't it? He's giving slab header run for his money, wasn't he? Old Slabhead Aaron himself.
Basically.
Yeah. I'm giving him a run for the money that form he's in at the moment. Jeez.
What, Slabhead?
Yeah.
Has he heard that we've nicknamed him Slabhead? Because Adam was laughing about it.
He's been known as that for years, mate, ever since he's joined it. To be honest with you, I started calling him Harry Maguire. He's been known for that for a good few years.
Very good. Well, it's coming out.
It's better than looking than Harry Maguire.
All right, Pete. He is married. He has got kids. You know, you might try and stalk him after a game with a drink. You know what I mean? He's married.
What I'm saying is, it's not a compliment to be called Harry Maguire.
He's a better player too.
He's probably a damn sight better than Harry Maguire at the moment.
He won't be giving it the big one if he scored against San Marino. No.
Man, no. They're comparing Aaron Racine to Harry Maguire. What do you think? Yeah. Did you hear that? What? Wife.
Well, is that one of her favourites?
Yeah. She likes big Aaron.
Well, there you go. You've got Gina who likes AP, Alex Parsons. So maybe we'll have to get her on the pod one time. Because, you know, the thing she said, like, if it was a choice between Spence or Alex, you know, sorry, Spence, but, you know... He just shakes his head in disapproval there.
He's sleeping under the pier, mate.
Luckily, Vicky, my wife, hasn't been to any Worthing. She's been to one, so she wouldn't have a clue what I was on about. So I'm safe for the time being.
So next game is Chesson.
Very good. Yeah, the next game was Chesson, and our first defeat of the... first defeat in, what was it, about 10, 11 games, Pete?
13.
You're the stato, so there we go. Unlucky 13, it proved to be unlucky. But as it seems to be most of the defeats we have this season, it's not because we played badly, it's because we just can't get the goal out of the ball in the back of the bloody net. Pete, frustration from you.
Yeah, we went ahead as well. Through Ollie Pearce in, I think it was the 11th minute. And then they got goals in the 21st and the 33rd, I think it was. And like I said, the second one was... Starkey on the edge of his box tried to play a pass and strike it, and one of the strikers got a foot on it and he deflected straight into the path of the other striker and in the back of the net, and that was it, 2-1.
So it was playing it out from the back,
and then second half we just dominated.
Did they just sit back and just defend? Did they park the bus?
Sort of, they were just playing on the counter, weren't they, Stuart?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, frustrating. Stu, sorry,
I was just going to say, we can't complain for losing games. Just creating so many chances.
Yeah,
that's not a worry.
And that's the tactic, though. Playing out from the back, there's always going to be that little risk of you know, something going wrong once in a blue moon. But you know, if it was happening all the time, it'd be a different story. But on one of the things, Stu, how did the players feel after that? Because obviously you're going 13 games without losing. Like, they must have been a bit gutted. But I know they had this good old social after that game. So you know, it was good to see all of those players.
Yeah, obviously it was a mixture of being gutted but positive. It was a weird one because, like I said earlier, we did enough to win the game. We played really well, just didn't take our chances. And it's slightly worrying we're not taking our chances. Maybe a bit sloppy in defence, but at the end of the day, we're still playing well. Still far the better team over 90 minutes. Maybe not the Chesson game. I think we didn't turn up first half for memory, but put in a far better second half performance. But look, it's positive in terms of playing out from the back. It creates more chances than it allows. So we're top of the league. We're by 8 points by playing out the back. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. That's how Hinch likes to play. He's not going to change, and neither should he, because it's the way we all play. It's the way I ask my youth teams to play. It's the way that Hinch asks the youth teams to play, the 18s to play. We're not that type of team that wants to get the ball up to a big target man up top. We're not an Enfield or a Chesson. Do you know what I mean? That's not how we play. So it's just one of those that, unfortunately, sometimes it does happen. It happens to my 16s on Sunday. It happens. And the message was the same to them as it was the first team. Just tidy up on the quality, move the ball quicker, but just keep on being positive and keep playing. And nothing would change, boys. If anybody's expecting that to change over the next few weeks, then unfortunately, that is the way.
I would expect
just that belief and have confidence in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Spencer.
We've got the goal scorers. We've got them there, so they will score. Obviously we had the back to back defeat. We sort of didn't have back to back, but we had a Seaford midweek that week against in the Sussex Senior Cup, and they played well, to be fair to Seaford. They actually went up front, but straight back with Tom Chile scoring, and a sort of really enthralling 6-2 win in the end, wasn't it?
I tell you what, I wasn't there. I only saw the highlights, but what a finish by Will Seager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, good. Yeah. He's been wound up about that over the last week, so that is for sure.
I mentioned it to him on Saturday as well. I said, I loved the highlights. I said, I thought your goal was quality.
he's honestly such a nice lad. And he's taken it on the chin, and he's laughing about himself. He knows there was a mistake there, but again, mistakes happen, and they.
Yeah.
But to be fair to the bloke, I think he's one of the most improved this month. He's been brilliant this month. Solid. Absolutely solid.
Yeah, he's a consistent 7 or 8 out of 10 most games, to be fair, for Will. I like Will a lot. It's just finding a position for Will and amongst the squad that we've got, really. But at least maybe one of those that plays away rather than at home. He's a top lad and a much valuable member of the team, 100%.
Yeah, it's got to be a big help to him. He's getting a proper run of games, isn't he, Stu?
Yeah,
exactly. Which he wasn't earlier in the season.
Helps any player, mate, to be quite honest with you. When you get a regular run of games, your form gets back, your touch gets back, and 100%, he's definitely improving. And young as well, still really young.
He's a good guy. He's really good, and like, at least he's taken it, hasn't taken him by chin. We've been drawn against Lewis. Boring. I mean, saving for the league, it would have been nice to get someone else, but Lewis in the next round of the cup, which we played in December sometime, am I right, Stu?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Some, what I'm here. Some cold midweek night in December, and and then rounding the month up, just past weekend, the loss to Dorking in the trophy 2-0. Again, from what I hear, I wasn't there, Pete, but and Spence, you weren't there either. But from what I understand, another frustrating. Just couldn't take our chances. We were the better team, possibly over the 90 minutes, but at least Callum Keeley didn't score.
We kept him quiet, to be honest.
Yeah, it was nice to see him back. He's a good lad, Callum.
But he was just the two quality finishes. But again, we made chance after chance in that second half.
It's such a shame, because you know what we'd have got Southend. That would have been such a brilliant result.
It would have been, but you look at it and you look at the way we play. Somebody somewhere along the line, and it's not going to be long, is going to get right tonking. They're going to have a 7 or 8 nil working well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Pete. I travelled up with Hinch to the game at Eastbourne on Monday, and I said exactly the same thing. I believe that we're just suddenly, it's been clicking anyway, but it's going to click in style, if that makes sense. And I think, you're right. We'll go and beat someone 6-7-8.
We create so many chances that there'll be that game where they all go in.
Yeah, 100%.
We do it against Bognor.
Not far away. Knee slide in front of Jack Pierce.
Yeah, please do. Barge past me.
Flicking the V's.
Yeah. So if we win, please can you do that? Please. Even if it meant you get disciplined by Barry, but just it'd be worth it in the end. Or Nathan.
Yeah.
We'll have a look.
I don't think I've got it in me anymore to do a knee slide, mate, to be quite honest.
It'd be get up on the walking stick after, I was saying.
Oh, 100%.
But chaps, all in all, a good November. We're sitting there pretty top of the table, 2 points clear behind in front of Enfield, with 2 games in hand over third place. So all for the taking. If we can still be this at this position in December, it's looking very rosy for the new year. But Stu, I understand you're off to set up some pitches now.
Pleasure, boys. Take care.
Cheers. See you later. Cheers, bye, bye, bye.
Cheers, Stu.
So after a rampant month of goal scoring opportunities, missed points, everything like that, Pete sat down with Hinch and discussed what he overall thinks of November in review. Thank you for joining us, Adam Hinchwood.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Okay, Adam, welcome back to Rebel Yell. Month started with Potters Bar, ended with Dorking. How did you feel the month went?
Points wise, for our performances, I think it could have been better, but performance wise, I think we've been playing some really good stuff. The two games we've lost, Chesson and Dorking, I thought the performances were good. We created lots of chances, and on another day, we pick up wins on both of those games. So, Yeah, I think if they wasn't there, and you're losing your second best in a lot of areas, then there's a lot more concern. But honestly, believe in like the messages that have relayed to the players are, if we keep performing how we're performing, then we're going to win more games than we lose, and I'm really confident of that.
Yeah, like you say, the defeat against Cheshunt, I thought, was really unlucky. We talk about the chances. I think we've mentioned it in the previous podcast, the amount of chances that we are making, not going in the net. Is that sort of the thinking of bringing a player like Callum back to the club for a couple of months on loan?
No, yeah, I just think it's an area that we can do with a little bit of a boost. You know, we've got Mo's picked up a bit of an injury to his quad. Tom Chalet has missed a bit. He was out, I think, well, smashed on the nose, actually. So he missed a bit through his like breathing and out with that. And he's just taken a while now to get up to speed, where he's just getting 10 and 15 minutes from the bench. And having someone like Carl come back, who's now gone away and got a bit of experience behind himself, and I think it'll be a good boost and take a bit of pressure off of the front boys as well. So yeah, really pleased with that signing. And yeah, I think there's elements of our defending we can get better, and you know, definitely could be more clinical in the chances that we're creating.
We're going into the month ahead, into December, busy month, 4 away games. Not ideal, broken up by Lewis here in the Senior Cup on the 18th. Looking at it, starting with Cray on Saturday, bottom three team, struggling this season, haven't won since the 26th of September. And then we get a Haringey Tuesday, again, they haven't won since the 25th of September. So you sort of expect to be winning those games, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly believe if we get our performance like it has been, then our expectation is to win most games. But you know, I think Cray are a bit in a false position. I think they, you know, look at their last two games. They beat Ebbsfleet on penalties and got a last minute equaliser the other night, so they'll be coming with full of confidence. And you know what, we can't in this league, I don't think you can assume anything's going to happen, to be honest. And it wouldn't surprise me if Cray went on a run, an unbeaten run. And same with Haringey, probably a bit different team to what they were when we played them a couple of seasons ago. But a couple of seasons ago, going to their place was one of the toughest fixtures that we had. So, you know, this, you can't afford to look at the league table and just assume that it's going to be 3 points in this division. You cannot afford to do that, and I'm most certainly won't be going into the game just assuming that we're going to pick up 3 points. And yeah, the players will not have that sort of mindset. They'll be just looking at their performance levels being like it's been in the last few weeks.
Yeah, no room for complacency or taking it for granted.
No, that's right. Yeah, you can't. There's no football, you know.
It's a funny old game.
Yeah, we'll soon bite you if you get complacent. That is definitely the wrong word to have. And yeah, I think now that the players are getting a bit more know-how. You know, there was another, Danny Barker picked up another award for 100 games now for the club. And, you know, I think that's Joel, Miki, Danny Barker, Jess, you know, all these boys now got over 100 games, I believe, under their belt for the club, and know how we want to play and know the expectation of the club, and know that, you know, Cray will come, you know, wanting to win the game. And they'll be looking at Cheshunt coming here and winning and be, you know, fill them with a lot of confidence. Mm.
Injury-wise, we've had a few. Marvin's come back, Danny's come back.
Yeah.
I think we've got Jasper out at the moment, and also Alex Parsons, you know, he's a long-term one.
Yeah.
And you've just mentioned Mo Diallo's got a quad problem.
Yeah.
Any others, apart from that, are we pretty healthy?
No, apart from that, we're all good. Obviously, Luca missed a couple of games, I think, with his wrist and that, but he's back now in contention. So, yeah, we've got him back. Yeah, Jasper's coming along nicely, but probably still looking at 3 weeks. Mo Diallo probably week or two with his quad. I think he pulled his quad right towards the end of the Cifa game, which is a bit of a shame. And then, yeah, like I say, Alex Parsons is the only other one, sort of longer. There is one more, actually. Dean Cox has got a slight tweak to his knee. Yes, hasn't settled down from Saturday. Wait to see how that's going, but might need to get a scan done to see how he's sort of getting on with that.
This is our last podcast for this year, so Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
At the beginning of the season, would you have took this position?
No, because we haven't won every game, you know, and that's my expectation.
Yeah.
Perfection. Disappointed that we didn't pick up 3 points at Enfield. The only game that I feel we shouldn't have won is Folkestone away, in my opinion, and that's probably looking through my rose-tinted glasses. But, yeah, I think we're doing okay, but definitely room for improvement.
Yeah, we should be 8 points better off.
Yeah, we should still be in the trophy, still be in the FA Cup, and 8 points better off.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, thanks ever so much, mate.
No problem. Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Evening, John. Good to have you back on the podcast. And as we were saying off air, a little bit of a quiet month this month, but we've got some news and new signings. You signed two new players in Molly Thorns and Rebecca Bell, or Becca Bell, I think it was tweeted out. So
she likes to be called Bex, yeah.
It's Bex Bell. There we go. Yeah. Bex Bell. Double B. Double B, we'll call her on the podcast. But what sort of colour, what do they bring to the women's team that you've added? Are they adding to something that was a little bit lacking in the squad, or like something you were looking for in particular?
Yeah, we were getting a bit short of numbers in the squad. A couple of players haven't been able to play for various reasons. So as much as we love Kelly Newton, we'd prefer her on the coach's bench as opposed to being a sub and potentially having to go on. So with Bex, we've got someone who's a real quick player, one of the quickest players in our team, I would imagine. So it's good to have a bit of National League experience as well. Molly, a bit younger, left-footed, first left-footed player we've got, to be fair. So, and she's got flexibility of playing down that left side as a fullback or a winger. But one of the main things is they fitted really well into the squad because of their attitude and their approach, you know, to great players in terms of their attitude, etc., and what we've seen in training. So it was good to get them over the line, really.
Were they available, John, or were they with other clubs? Or
yeah, one was available and just training with a club, Chichester, and the other one had asked if they could be released. And if the club were happy for them to go in looking for another club. So credit to Chichester for letting them both leave at the same time.
Yeah. And I guess how have the girls taken to relate? Because we obviously spoken quite a few times about how you've kind of brought two teams together. They've merged really well. And whenever I've been down there, I've seen a good morale boost and, like, you know, the team have sort of been merging well together. Have they fitted right in with the ladies in the dressing room?
Yeah, I think any team with any aspirations of improving their performances and getting more results, more positive results, appreciates having a full squad with a lot of competition needs to be there. You know, if you're happy with playing week in, week out and not having much of a challenge, then you're not going to progress as a team and as an individual. So one of the key things when I said to the players, you know, they came into training, we spoke to them about the club. The question was, why did you choose us? Because they had opportunities to go to other clubs and other clubs in a higher division than us. And they said we felt the players were really welcoming. We loved the fact that we talked to them, explained about the club, asked them to come along, give them a lot of background information. And they said that the combination of those two really enabled us to make an easy decision to sign.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, I look forward to seeing them in action. And Beck's already on the score sheet for debut goal against Salt Dean.
Yeah, scored the winner.
Yeah.
Scored the winner against Salt Dean. So that's not bad, is it? Local derby, that's quite a positive thing for her. So it was lovely to see her score, to be fair.
Oh, it's brilliant. And, you know, welcome to Woodside, Molly and Bex. But we'll have a little review of the month. Obviously, only three games this month. Seems to be quite quiet for the ladies. Obviously, you've long forgotten Pete's scary costumes on 31st against Millwall. I mean, as we've already said last month, Millwall was scary enough to have on Halloween, let alone adding Pete with his costume. But Hounslow in the FA Cup, was it round one, am I correct in saying, or was it round two?
So it's the first round proper.
And a team that had been struggling a little bit at their level at the moment. And from what I understand, a team that could well have been beaten, and it took penalties for them to dispose of the Worthing ladies. So from you, John, what were your views on that game?
I think we controlled the game the first half, which was really... it was great to see from my perspective, and I think it gave the players a lot of confidence. Second half was a bit more even, but still we had opportunities to score. And to be fair, their goal was like a shot from the edge of the box. The girl on the turn probably didn't hit it as well as she wanted to, but it managed to hit the post and go in. So, you know, from our perspective, the performance was great. They are in two divisions above us, so they're used to competing at a faster pace against, I suppose, what you'd say, more experienced players. And I'd say we're in the ascendancy for most of the game and into extra time as well. So in the end, it was a disappointment. But of course, if you'd have said 1-1 against a tier three side and then going to penalties, you'd have been quite happy. But we weren't as happy as we thought we'd be from that result, to be fair.
No, and what were the players' reactions after? Like, were they a little bit gutted, or just just because they knew it was
missed
so close?
Missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah,
they thought you know, because what a great thing to be in the second round of the FA Cup. You know, a tier five side is not usually in that round, and then an opportunity to try to get to the third round proper when all the top sides come in. So. So disappointment, but I think, you know, after the Millwall game, which was probably our best performance of the season, we lost, it was probably good to get another performance in. And then as a consequence, the last two games have been great results for us.
Yeah, Pete, you were going to say something.
Yeah, with the Hounslow game, obviously I was there. I was absolutely pig sick at the end, to be honest. Usually doing the tannoy, we would say a few words and say good luck for the rest of the season, but I just switched it all off and went to the bar. But we had
that's a surprise, Pete.
Yeah.
half-time.
Yeah, at the end of the second half, before we went into extra time, you know, how we didn't get the ball in that now on three or four different occasions, I will never, ever be able to work out in my head. It was just like goal mouth scrambles, and the girls were just so unlucky. And like you said, there's so many positives that can take from that performance.
Yeah, you know, I think you're probably intimating the one where Katie's took the free kick, goalkeeper saved it. Bex Bell actually followed in and hit it really cleanly, and I think the goalkeeper stuck a leg out. And I think there was another corner where the goalkeeper's diving the wrong way, saved it. And Lucy Apps, I think, drilled it in, and it sort of hit the post on that. So, it was quite gutting, to be honest. Like I say, felt like a missed opportunity rather than, well done, we've done well against a team in a higher division than us.
Well, Hounslow like a penalty shootout, because they went into the next round and against Clapton, and they lost on penalties that time. So, you know, it's a shame.
They scored all theirs against ours, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. There we go. They couldn't do that. But, you know, I'm sure the ladies will build on it. They'll for next season, they'll give them a little taste of a cup run. First time in the first round proper for Worthing. Mm-hmm. A massive achievement. So, John, well done to you and the team. But County, maybe it's a County Cup for us this year, because it must have been weird, because you played Lewis, who obviously you've got very strong affinity with of your past career. So what was that like? I mean, I know it wasn't at the Dripping Pan. It was at one of their training pitches. But was it weird? Was it weird to be not wearing the Lewis uniform on the match day?
Not really. I've worked in football long enough to know that the one thing ends, something else starts. So it was probably more so for some of the players, because it was a lot closer for them, that some of them had left Lewis last season to come to us. So they're playing against a lot of players that they knew very well, that they've played sort of youth football with. For me, it was another game we'd like to win. So there was nothing added to it because we beat Lewis. It was more of a case of we got quarter final to play. And a great opportunity to go through in the cup. And I was pleased for the players, because we played Lewis development squad in a friendly. And I could see the faces of the players who had left them to come to us. They were absolutely gutted about that. But we managed the game really well, scored early on. And I think that we sort of controlled most of that game, so that was nice, and I think I was pleased for the players for that one.
It's a good win. And are we now in the semi-final, or are we in the quarter-final?
We're in the semi-final. So we're playing Crawley at their place on the 19th of December, so that'll be our last game.
Hopefully all the girls have been good, and Santa's not going to be leaving any coals on the pitch that day, and we get through to the final, because that would be amazing.
It would be probably one of the biggest surprises in the County Cup if we did, because You know, it's usually the same sort of four teams win. So it's normally Brighton, Lewis, Chichester or Crawley.
Yeah.
And that's really where it's been for the last sort of...
Is the final at the Amex as well, like the men's county cup? Or is
no,
it?
It's usually at Lancing FA.
At Lancing, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. But, you know, if we get there, I'm sure there'll be a big following down there because I'm sure the away boys from the men's team would try and bring a following down and everything like that. But let's get there first.
Well, we haven't played the League Cup yet either, so that's going to start in the new year.
I was just going to say, sounds about time that there's a new name on the cup.
it would be nice, but you know, you go into it realistically that you know, getting to play a team at that level again and test yourself, because that's the aspirations of the team is to go up the levels. So it gives us a good idea and the players a good idea of where they are at. Even the Hounslow one, we accept that they weren't doing so well in their league, but you know, you're still competing against players that have played a huge amount of time at that level.
We better get start practicing the away boys with as it should be. Donoghue's Red White Army. That sound good? Has that got a ring to it? Good work.
Like Donoghue gives a wave.
Yeah, that'll be good. But I'm sure we'll do that as well. As long as you promise to wave to them.
Yeah,
right. We've got that on record now, guys. So if you do have a good following, you start doing that. John will promise to wave to you. And rounding the month up, as we said already, touched on Bexbell's first goal for the club, the winner against Sault Dean in the league, a reverse of the fixture earlier in the year. That's left you sixth in the table, sort of right in the middle, mid table. Obviously, good to have a local derby and good to get the win. Happy with the performance against Sault Dean?
I think I had an interview after the game, and what I said was, as much as I was disappointed with how we performed in the first half, which was probably a credit to Sault Dean who pressed us really quickly, the performance was still far better than a lot of our performances early on in the season. So it's good to be disappointed about a performance that is actually a lot better than we have been playing, you know, the first few games. Second half, I thought we kept the ball better. We retain possession in the higher end of the pitch, you know, in their half. And to be fair, we dealt with most of their attacks. So I was really pleased with that.
That was brilliant. And, you know, we've got I think you could be pleased, as you said, pre-season, you know, it's a new league, you know, higher league for some of these players, and to be sort of coming up to the halfway point nearly, sort of, well, coming into the Christmas period, to be sixth mid-table is great for the girls. And, you know, well, to push on for the new year, and maybe a cup run will give them the confidence. You say still got the League Cup to play. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing if, you know, we could have a men's and women's Sussex senior County Cup double.
You never know. We're only 4 points to be off of second. So as much as we're sixth, we're like I say, we're still only a few points. And I think we've got the same points, but a lesser goal difference against the team above us. So we got Dartford on the weekend, who are second. So they were very strong last time we played them.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, John, is it the first two that get promoted in your league?
It's only one.
If
that one can't go up for any ground issues or whatever, you are allowed to apply. It's only one. And I think I wouldn't be wrong in saying it's going to be Ashford.
Okay. Right. And do you, if the situation came, we've got the facilities, I assume that we can apply to go up.
Easily. But
just out of interest, what level in women's game sort of are Worthing's facilities at? Where's the highest we could get to with the stadium the way it is?
You'd be able to play at Super League with the facilities, yeah.
Interesting.
They might have to do something about car parking.
Yeah. I think that's with everything, like even like with the National League and stuff, you know, car parking is a nightmare for us at the moment.
But a lot of teams would do the usual thing where you have the parking somewhere else and you get people in, but the facilities would be at that level, because you can get I don't know what's the capacity for work
I think officially two five
I think
it is, yeah, so you would certainly be able to do that. So you know, if you did pull a Super League game in against a team in at home, the game would still be on because the facilities are suitable for that.
That's good to know. And the facilities are ever improving. John, thank you for joining us tonight. Good month for the women. Look forward to speaking to you. Well, we'll have to try and fit it in because over the Christmas period, because the next time we record it will probably be first week of January. So we do, if I don't see you before, hope you have a nice Christmas and some good results and into the final of the Sussex Senior Cup. I'm sure will be a perfect Christmas present for you, wouldn't it?
Let's hope so, eh?
Yeah. John, thank you.
Have a good one yourselves.
Yeah, you take care.
Cheers, John.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great, as always, to speak to John Donoghue, the women's first team manager. Now we've been joined by Gemma Worsfold from the women's team. Pete sat down with her this week and discussed her career and what she hopes and wants to achieve with the club this coming season.
Okay, so it's time to welcome Gemma to the Rebel Yell podcast. Your debut on the podcast, Gemma, welcome.
Evening.
Basically, we've got you on because we want to know your sort of football story, because I know as long as I've been watching Worthing Women, you've been there sort of last 4 years, and you're probably there before my time.
Yeah, I've been there since day one, really, since the women's side was set up, maybe five seasons now, very much part of the furniture.
So how did you get into women's football?
I started playing for a team when I was 11, so just a few years ago now, and I was just picked up by someone randomly playing football in a park, and they asked me to come along and join their team, and went from there, really. And just
so, who did you play for before Worthing then?
For Worthing, I was living in Australia, so I played in Australia. For that, I was living and playing in America, so it's actually been quite a while since I played in England. I moved back, and Worthing was just the most local team to me, and I thought, I'll just go there, it'll be no stress, won't take it too seriously, just turn up and play. And little did I know it would be nothing like that, and here I am 5 seasons later.
Still living the dream.
Still living the dream, absolutely.
There was a lot of changes in the summer. Was it quite easy for you to adapt to that?
Yeah, and I think that it was a positive change. The changes needed to happen for various reasons for various people. And I think the team has generally just dealt with it really well, actually. And new people in have kind of just, it seems like they've always been there, really. So I guess that's a positive. And the coaching staff, I mean, they're all great coaches and great people as well. So I think that wasn't very difficult to adapt to. So yeah, it's been a positive change.
I was going to ask you how you feel yourself. You're in sixth position in the league at the moment. It's a step up from last season. Pleased with how it's going?
I don't know if I'm ever pleased, Pete, but I don't know, it's been a bit up and down, really. We've been really good, and then we've been under par, shall we say. So I think we're getting better and we're getting more consistent, but we've certainly had some off days. We are getting better, and we are competing against teams that are expected to beat us. As the newbies to the league, I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it, and like I say, the displays I've seen so far this season, especially first half against Hounslow. I was talking to John about it on the podcast, and it was saying how devastated I was because I really thought we deserved to win that game.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, nobody likes to lose on penalties. The game should have been wrapped up in 90 minutes, let alone extra time and penalties, and we all know that, and I think that's what makes it even more difficult to take. But yeah, we gave a good account of ourselves and made it entertaining for the fans, hopefully. So positives to take from that one. But yeah, extremely disappointed.
That's football though for you, isn't it?
Exactly.
But you have made, is it right, you've made the semi-final in East Sussex?
Yeah, we've got Crawley. Yeah, that'll be a tough test. But yeah, looking forward to it. It's always good to play those teams where you are the underdog and there's no pressure. They're always the easier games going into, aren't they? So looking forward to that one.
Yeah, there should be a good one against Crawley. So you've got a game on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff, I understand.
But Dartford at home.
It's going to be a tough test for you. Hopefully we can, well, I'm going to get you to put a shout out to encourage people to come down and support the women's team.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a good game. They were our first game of the season and they beat us 2-0, but one was a terrible penalty decision. We had chances and we could have come away with points from that game in our first game against a very decent team who sit second in the league, I believe. So it will hopefully be a close game and an entertaining game. Yeah, and I mean, the support so far has been amazing. So anyone else that wants to come along, from what I meet a lot of people actually that come along and say they've never really watched women's football before, and they come along and they're pleasantly surprised at how much they enjoyed it, which I guess is a good thing and not a good thing that they haven't watched women's football yet. But yeah, the more the merrier, and the atmosphere, like, it's amazing. And people always leave there, and we're just grateful for the support. And if they're leaving happy, then that makes it even more worthwhile.
Right, I'm going to put you on the spot now for Sunday, Gemma. You know what I'm going to ask you? I want a score prediction.
Oh, blimey. Score prediction. I am going to say 2-1 win.
I like it. I like the positivity. Confidence. There's no point going into games without any confidence anyway, is there?
But I support Arsenal, and I always think we're going to win.
Oh dear. It's not your fault, Gemma. We won't hold it against you.
Exactly.
Right then, Gemma, thanks ever so much for your time.
Yeah, nice one. Thank you very much for having me.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great interview there by Gemma and Pete. So thanks for sitting down and taking time. As Pete said on text message, when both me and Spencer, we can't make this, I say Mr. Reliable Pete, but we all know really if he cut him open, he's got the blooming fishes flying out of him with the Worthing logo, because he just lives and breathes Worthing Football Club, don't you, Mr. Vale?
I'm a fish.
Okay. What kind of fish are you? A mackerel, let me guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a mackerel.
I can't believe you just asked what type of fish.
He is slippery and slimy, isn't he? Isn't he, Spence? I'm sure that's what Jasper said when he was stalking him down the last melon the other week. Had to get that in there.
Wasn't stalking him.
Anyway, moving on from these funky nightclubs that I do not know what they involve. But Nathan Bowen is the director of football at Worthing today, but now he's got a new job title as general manager. And he sat down with Pete this week to discuss and I guess really inform us guys, because, you know, we've known Nathan for a long time, but it's come as maybe not a surprise, but, you know, I don't think many people knew that he had taken on this new role, general manager. So Pete sat down with him and Nathan wanted to tell the fan base what his actual role now involves at the club. So thanks, Nathan, to sit down with us.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Okay, so we're here with Nathan Bowen. Welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast, first time in a while.
Yeah, good to be back, mate. Yeah, it's good.
Good to have you back. Right, so director of football here, and yeah, little birdie tells me that you're also the general manager now.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to know was what that entails, and is that affecting your director of football role?
Not so much, because obviously when I started the director of football role, I was still doing some other bits with Valenti, who we used to bring down, and working with the Valenti Academy and the agencies. Basically, I've stopped doing that, okay, and replaced that part of my working week with the general manager role at the club. And obviously, they're quite different roles. So the director of football role is looking after all the different teams and being the point of contact between our management team, the management committee, and all the different things that we do. So helping hint with the first team and doing all the background stuff for that in terms of budgets and admin and things like that, as well as coaching. Same with the women's team, and then running the academy, obviously coaching on the under 18s, 14s, 15s, 16s, leading on the development centre. So they're just trying to really drive the pathway in the back office, basically, as well as coaching, and then giving more time to Hinch and the other guys to be on the pitch and doing what they're, you know, what they really enjoy doing, what they're passionate about.
It's sort of an evolved format, really.
Yeah, yeah. It basically, there's so much happening at the club. We're obviously in transition in a lot of things on and off the pitch. But yeah, just trying to give everyone the time to do the bits that they need to do, so that the football director role gives them the time to do that. So, like I say, Hinch can concentrate on running the team, developing the players in the first team, in the academy, in the under-18s, just going coach, and I can help with the off-the-field stuff as well. And then the general manager is much the same, but with all things not football. So obviously we've got bars to run, we've got bookings, you've got to make sure health and safety and safeguarding, insurance, security, all those sort of things. There's so much going on. And we have individual people running those departments, but you need someone to just link them all together. Right. That's my role. And then obviously being on the management committee as well.
Okay. So you mentioned budgets. Yeah. We've just got Callum Keighley back on loan for 2 months.
Yes.
Who'll be signing next?
I'm not sure. Listen, it's the boys have done so well. Yeah. So it's not even a case of needing loads of signings, but as we've seen with the season, it's a tough season. Every game's been so difficult, and you're coming back after COVID lockdown, which I think has affected people physically. You're gonna pick up knocks as we have been. So we just thought we might need, rather than wait for something to happen while you're in a position of strength, while you've got people there, can we add to the group and give them a little bit of support especially coming up through the Christmas period, December, heavy pitches on the legs, loads of games close together. So we just thought that that would be something that, that would help us going forward. And then obviously if we need to do anything else, we can. A big part, like I said, of the transition is being making sure that we've been running well on and off the pitch so that, that it can put us in a position if we need something, we can do it. And like I say, the management team, the board, everyone's been working really hard to make sure that we're in the best position we can to help the team.
Quite a while ago, we had Barry on, the chairman.
Yes.
And he was mentioning about the transitions that are going on at the club and needed us to be self-sustaining.
Yeah, 100%.
Are we getting there?
Yeah, like I say, that's what we're aiming towards. We don't want to be reliant on anyone. And George has done such a fantastic job. But ultimately, the club has to exist without anyone having to back it up. Yeah, at the moment, that's the position that we're in. We're working really smart and we're working within our means. Obviously, the crowds turning up week in, week out is a massive help to us. And recently, the bars have been full after the games, all those things, that the club shop, all those little things all add up together, as well as, like I say, Chris and the finance director, Barry, John, George, really getting hold of the budgets and making sure that we're running efficiently. We've obviously got Ange making sure that we're getting every grant that we're eligible for. Everyone's been working really hard. And my job in terms of being a general manager and football director is to make sure we stick within those budgets. We have regular reviews just to make sure we're on track. And yeah, like I say, it's been good. We've added to the committee, the management committee. We've got a lot of expertise there. And I think everyone, the whole community, was itching to get back to football. So I think we've seen that with our crowds. We weren't expecting that. You know, you never know what position people are in with their jobs and stuff. So it's been really good to see all our fans come back and supporting us just the way they were before. Been a massive help.
Back to the academy team.
Yes.
You must be really pleased with all that.
I'm really pleased, but for me, it's only the beginning. You know, we pride ourselves on developing players and giving them the opportunity and trusting them. And the football that you saw is the sort of football we expect our first team to play. Obviously, you see a lot of those boys in the under-18s playing Charlton. We still try and play the same way. Obviously, they're young. They make mistakes. But I think that's the value of having consistency throughout the club. So having Hinch and Cam and myself, Stu, all the coaches, they input into every team. So if you come down tomorrow, you'll see the same coaches coaching the under sevens as a coach in the academy that are coaching the first team. And you sort of see that it's evident in the way that we play. And yeah, in some of the teams that are coming in, it's not all about results. We want to get them learning the right things and playing the right way. And the higher you go up the pathway, the more you see the benefit of that. So, the 18s are going well at the moment, obviously competing at the top of the league, doing well in the County Cup, the academy, top of the league, competing in the cup. The real measure of it is how many are getting in and around the first team. And we actually think we could have more first team, but ultimately the first team boys aren't going to give their shirt away. They've been playing so well, they've been working so hard, and opportunities aren't just going to be handed, they've got to be earned. But there's boys like Joe Rye, he's playing regularly at Lancing, fantastic player. Ollie Starkey, you see him in training with the first team, fantastic player. Maxwell Bartlett, before he got injured, got into the first team squad, and I could list another six or seven more. We had obviously Lewis and Finn Chadwick training with the first team tonight, and they could easily, we trust all of them.
Back to the first team, how do you think the season's going? Is it?
Do you know what? Obviously, we're in a strong position. Yeah. I also think there's, for how well we've played, we haven't lost often this season, but the losses still hurt, and
especially the one.
Yeah, well, just any loss. I hate losing. But the way, the teams we're playing are quality teams. So yeah, 100% we take the position, but I still think there's more to come. And the thing is now is about maintaining and raising your level. So we're never happy with what's gone before. We want to keep improving, want to keep working. Like I say, you're going into a real difficult period, and we're looking at other teams. Loads of teams are in form. Loads of teams are doing well that weren't in form at the start of the season. And there's teams at the start of the season that have dipped off, and we're only in December. Yeah. It's going to keep going up and down. There's going to be highs and lows. So for me, yeah, we're really happy with how things are going. like we say, we backed our lads and we you know, we think we can compete with most teams, you know, if we approach it in the right way and we give it a go, we'll match any team, we'll try and go and play, you know, the way we want to play and go and win games. And yeah, so far it's been going well, but it's about kicking on and maintaining those levels, raising those levels and keeping the momentum going all the way to the end of the season.
Well, thanks for the chat, Nathan.
No, appreciate you having me on, mate.
Have you on again soon.
Definitely. Cheers, mate.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always good to have Nathan on. He's a top guy and, you know, he's a good guy to have around the club. So thank you for sitting down with us. And hopefully that's broadened everyone's horizon, knows what Nathan's new job role is around the club. So thanks, Nathan, and I look forward to seeing you next time down. I'm sorry I had to cancel on you last minute, but I thought I'd give you a one-on-one session with Pete, because Pete, we all love to have a one-on-one session with you, don't we?
I hope so.
Yeah, I get stuck with you in a commentary box.
Where's this going?
I have no idea.
I've got no idea where that's going. I was like, what?
Maybe we should just cut that right now. Anyway, guys, I think one thing that I've really... what's stuck out to me this month from the men's team is the performance of Harrison Mayle. Hasn't he made some world-class saves?
It's just, I call it, I said to Adam the other week, it's like the non-league Shay Given. And he went to me, that's a good comparison, that is.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I first saw him through the sticks, I thought, God, he doesn't... And then, nice perspective, he doesn't have the right sort of build as I thought a keeper. Like, you know, when we had Rushworth in, he's obviously quite commandeering of his goal area. But Harrison's not the tallest guy. I'm sure he'd admit that himself. But his control across the face of the goal is amazing.
Yeah, and Rocco Reese wasn't that tall, no. If you remember.
Yeah.
He wasn't a huge unit from Brighton. And he's gone on and obviously started off at Leeds. And he's, you know, represented England in the 16s when he was a young lad. And I think if he was a bit taller, like you say... he would be a lot higher than where he is now.
I know we've
no pun intended.
Spencer now stirring a pot.
But he's literally like Zebedee. Like some of the saves he makes, the way he gets himself across the goal. It's just like, how did you do that?
I mean, it's when we were playing Hayes and Yedding, that near post, like Hayes should have gone one up. And I don't know how he got the save. He saved the penalty against, I think it was Potters.
Yes.
Yeah, great penalty save. You know, and the fact is that he's actually our player. He's not alone.
And you can remember, the shorter player is going to get down quicker than the taller player. So he's got that to his advantage.
We wanted to get Harrison on since he signed for us. And kindly, it's been arranged for us to speak to him this month. So Pete, again, sat down with him. It's the Pete show really tonight, Spencer, isn't it? You know, as we said, he's Mr. Werbing through and through. He's Mr. Reliable. So we gave him the microphone and sat down with Harrison. And time to listen to the fruits of Pete's labour. I don't know why I said that. Over to you.
I'm not his dad.
Pete's a fish, he's fruit. What feedstuff is he next? Right, what can we squeeze in?
Here's Harrison before this goes any more further down the pan.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Okay, I'm here with Harrison Mayle, your debut on the Rebel Yell podcast. Yeah, pleased to be here.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's once you've done this, you know you've made it at Wales. That's what it's all about.
That's
good, then. So, Harrison, sort of new to the club. I know you were just saying you trained with us for a while during the COVID restrictions, etc., etc. The beginning of your career, when you was a youngster, you was at Leeds.
Yeah, I was at Leeds. Grew up through the ranks there from 7 till 19. Yeah, 7 till 19. So. Went up the ranks there, and then here I am.
Here you are. Yeah. While you was at Leeds, you got called up for the England under 16s. Yeah, what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was great. Some great players who have gone on to go do amazing things. Great experience. Just the facilities down at St George's Park, playing other national teams. Great experience.
Okay, what sort of players did you play with?
Jadon Sancho.
That's not a bad start.
Yeah, Phil Foden.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Who else was the Ryan Sessegnon, who's at Tottenham. Pretty much all of them are playing in the league now. So Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, list of names there. So, and I understand you sort of fell into goalkeeping from being a midfielder.
Yeah, so I went to Leeds originally as an outfielder, as a midfielder, and then just one game, the keeper didn't turn up. Who wants to go in goal? I put my hand up, and then the rest is history, yeah. So I did well. I enjoyed it there as well. I just enjoyed chucking myself about. And stuck with it.
So, and then from Leeds you went to Gateshead.
Yeah, I went to Gateshead. Spent a year there, enjoyed it, but then I thought I would like to get more first team experience. A new Aaron came down and enjoyed the club. Great setup. Hinch, Nath, Stu, everyone here, Cam, great bunch of people to be around. Just from day one, welcomed me in. Even the lads, the players, I couldn't ask for anything better.
So what's it been like since you've joined, especially if it's sort of been your first season here? How much have you loved it?
I wouldn't say it was like my first year. Just the way the boys are with me, the coaches. It's like I've known them for a long time. And brilliant lads, just all get along really well.
Yeah, I've noticed that there's a good camaraderie between the players. Yeah. Who would you say you've clicked with the most since you've been here?
I don't know, really. I wouldn't say I clicked with anyone better than anyone else. We all get along well. Like, you've watched training tonight, and poor Jasper's gone and volunteered to be referee.
Got dogs abuse.
Yeah, and everyone gets onto him, but that's the way we are. We know if I went in, I know I'd get a hammer in. But that's just the spirit we have, and we all know it's fun and games at the end of the day, but we're just so well bonded that it's all good fun.
We don't lose many games. We just don't. So what's the feeling like when we do actually lose? Is it?
Yeah, obviously we watch over what we could have done better, but as well what we did really well. So at the game, obviously we did put our chances away, but the build-up play and how we were moving the ball was great. And obviously it affects us on the day, but you can't sit on a loss for too long. If you sit on it too long, that's when it will start affecting your games and stuff like that. But what is it? Two sessions on a Thursday night and it's forgotten about. We're ready for Saturday. Same on Tuesday. We watched the videos before training. Once we left here, straight onto the training field, and it's forgotten about. We just get on with it, because if you dwell on it for too long, it'll end up biting you.
Okay. Are you pleased with your own performances this season?
Yeah. It's been a while since you've had a good run of games, really, for me personally, because it was 18 months injured at Leeds. So that was little periods of me coming back in and then struggling with my knee again. But 18 months there, and then last year having a little run and then COVID hitting. So it's good. It's all about confidence. Like, the more and more games I play, the more confident I feel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy with how I'm doing. I'm sure any other fans would let me know if I wasn't doing well.
We're quite a polite bunch. We think you've been absolutely superb. Sort of the other week when I was commentating, that shot from that chap, and you in the last minute, and you pushed it onto the crossbar.
Yeah.
I didn't even, it was moving that quick. I just thought it'd hit the crossbar. And it was only when I saw the replay that I saw that you tipped it onto the crossbar. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, apart from the ones sort of low down that you've been making, is that an advantage for a shorter goalkeeper, if you can get down to those quicker?
Yeah, obviously, if I was 6'11".
You'd be in the Premiership.
hopefully. But it's a long way down then, but you always have your advantages if you're taller, but do you have what a 6 foot, 5'11" keeper would have?
Yeah.
That's the question. You're always going to, someone who might be 6'5", they might say is better at crossing, but does he have the feet? How we like to play to be able to fit into the team. That's the question.
Yeah, and you're brave on crosses as well. You're not scared to come out against anyone, are you?
No.
You're a bit of a psychopath when it comes to that. You're straight in the crowd.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what you've got to do. For me, I've always been told, you're not tall enough, we need someone bigger. But if you're coming out and affecting the game, taking crosses, punching crosses, that's what I'm there to do. It's not an excuse because you're only 6 foot.
Yeah.
And you're not 6'5". It's not an excuse to me. You just got to deal with it. If someone doesn't like you being 6 foot, go prove them wrong somewhere else.
Totally right attitude. Absolutely love that. Wolf Seager's goal last week. Did you enjoy that one?
No comment.
I wasn't here. I missed the game. And I saw it on the replay and it did make me chuckle.
Yeah.
Obviously, you went square in a box for him.
Yeah, to give him an option. But it's just one of those things in the heat of the moment. He's not realised. He's not brought his head up. It's a freak accident. Yeah. He's obviously not meant to do it. I've tried to move to give him space. Yes.
I was talking to Stuart about it, and he was saying he's had loads of grief about that, and I thought I would mention it as well. Anyway, well, pleasure having you on. Thanks for spending this time with us, and hopefully we'll speak to you again before the end of the season.
100%.
All right, cheers, mate.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I'm sorry, guys. Maybe it's a jet lag. Maybe it's the lack of football. Maybe it's Christmas decorations going up, but something's fuzzing my brain tonight.
I've got tears in my eyes here.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you always know I bring the tone down, but it's normally on a commentary night when I'm freezing cold. I ain't really got an excuse tonight. The heating's on. I'm nice and warm in my little hoodie. But I'm still talking absolute rubbish. But hey, Pete, that was a great interview of Harrison, and thank you, Harrison, for sitting down talking to Rebel Yell. We'll have to get someone else on in a month. Maybe we'll try Pat Webber, who was another new signing, or yeah, we need to still get Ollie Pearce, because Ollie keeps on avoiding us.
Yeah, I have mentioned it to him, but going back to Harrison, we're ever so sorry, but because this podcast, we can't provide subtitles because he's from way up north.
Says that southerner Pete.
Yeah, I mean, lived in Worthing for like 40 years or something, and he's still got his Brummie accent.
Midlander.
But anything from Worthing, as we said on the commentary the other week, is north. Yeah. So everyone's dirty northern beep beeps, because you literally can't go further south unless you play a team on the Isle of Wight or we're back playing Guernsey or Jersey.
Yeah, so, there's dirty northern bees and poison.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Up the A24. Right, before this podcast gets completely out of control, guys, we've got a busy December ahead of us. And okay, it's going down the pan. We might as well mention the B word, because that's going to be a time to get revenge. I'm not going to be there to have another mental breakdown, hopefully. I'll be listening to Pete from the other side of the world, but I'm really looking forward to it. We need to get the revenge, guys, because we should not have lost that game at the beginning of the season. This is the time. And as we said earlier on to Stu, is this going to be the time we get our drubbing? Is it going to be Bognor, or is it going to be, are we waiting it for the new year? Because Bognor, to be fair to them, aren't playing badly. I mean, they're mid-table. We, as we like to say, mind the gap. Because it is quite a big gap, but I don't think they're a bad team. They're better than they have been over previous seasons.
Well, when it comes to a derby, it's old school, but it comes to a derby, it's anything goes, isn't it? It's like form goes out the window, league position goes out the window. It'll be a game. You know, the atmosphere is going to be amazing. 99% from the away fans, but no, got the faith.
And the thing is, by the time we get to that game, if you look at our fixtures, we've got...
Well, we start off this Saturday with Cray.
Yeah. Which...
We should win. Surprisingly bottom three, because I still thought they would have had, although they'd had a complete change of management thing, they're normally quite a decent side. And I'm surprised.
When they were up there in the null and void season, they lost half their manager and team, when they went to Lewis. So
Lewis Wanderers.
It's really been detrimental on them. And obviously, they were promoted the season before that as well.
Yeah.
So they're getting a bit of a second season bounce, the same sort of Horsham did, although Horsham have turned the form around lately.
Yeah. But they've played Horsham, have yet been tested, really. They're playing teams in and around them. When they get a big test, will Horsham on New Year's Day be their first big test? I'm not sure their fixtures, because this ain't the Hornets podcast, but I think that'll be a good game. As you say, it's going to be interesting.
But as Pete's saying, by the time we get to the Bognor game, so our next three games are Cray, Haringey, Brighton and Sea.
9 out of 9.
This is my stat for the evening. So they're three out of the bottom four on the form table. Between the three of them, they don't have a win in their last six games.
Yep. And Haringey and Brighton and Sea, both of them, their last win was on the 25th of September.
There you go.
There's a stat for you.
Well, let's hope. You know, I think these are the games that if we're going to be promoted, we need to pick up the win without a shadow of a doubt, because it's always been the same with me and Cholton. I'm sure you and Forrest, you and West Ham, Spence. It's always those games that they don't win against teams that you should be beating are the ones that cause you hiccups in the sort of end of the season. So these are the games that we, as Stu said, we need to make sure we are firing in those opportunities and they're not missing them. I think, you know, as you say, Pete, 9 out of 9. It's got to be 9 out of 9. It has to be. Haringey, Brightling Sea, and Cray. it's got to be 9 out of 9. Two very, very long away days in Haringey and Brightlingsea. Last time I went to Brightlingsea, Spencer, that was a very long, cracking day out, and that's when we went top of the league again. And I think we were top of the league by 3 points for that day. Margate, what do we think, guys? It's Margate.
It's always a tough place to go, but the last time we went there, we went one down, I think, and we ended up winning 3-1.
Yep.
And they're having an iffy season. They're blowing hot and cold.
Yeah, they're very up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd expect to win there. And obviously our away form is incredible as well.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't got after this Saturday, we haven't got a home game till the 1st of January.
Yeah. I'm really putting my neck on the line here. That game where we're saying, oh, someone's going to get hit for like 6 or whatever.
You think it could be these first 3?
It's Brightlingsea away. There you go.
Well, Horsham managed it. I think they scored 5, was it? 4 or 5?
That's true. Yeah. 5, I think.
After, like, that was their first win after their FA Cup run and sort of started off their little run. So, but we've all got to be, I mean, we've got 7 games this month. We've got Lewis in the Senior Cup as well this month. Yeah, this will be this month. We got six at least, possibly 7 games this month. All culminating in the trip down the road. I don't even want to mention a name, but it's against Bognor. I'm really excited.
I don't want to mention a name. It's Bognor.
But as Pete alluded to earlier, we're professional here. So we had to put past grievances and videos videos behind us, don't we, Pete?
Yeah, we were before you lost the plot this evening.
It's only James Crane. Anyway, do you think, like, hand on heart, we've got to surely get revenge against Bognor. It's got to be done.
We're going to do him.
Yeah.
Are you going to put your score on the line?
I'm going to go 4-1.
That's what I said at home. It never happened.
3-1. I'm not just saying that to be one. I've literally got it written down.
Right. Do you know what you've just done as well? You've just given them more sound quotes if we do end up losing to be on the next quiet dry your eyes, mate, video. So I'm sure they'll be listening to this. And hello to a very award nominated podcast. I mean, you don't know what that is, Bognor, but hey ho. Well, they don't, do they? I didn't see Bognor's podcast nominated at the Football Content Awards, did you?
Not just nominated, mate. Finalists.
Finalists. There we go. And very well merited. And next year we're coming for that award. Ending, hopefully, a Christmas present. That's what we all want. That's what we all care about against Bognor. I'm really looking forward to it. But, you know, all the way, pretty much this month. So we've got to do our usuals. What's it going to be? 5 games in the league? Are we going for 15 points, Pete, as per usual?
Yes.
There you go. Spencer?
I for the first time ever, I'm going very, very confident. Full points.
And should we go for a full?
Brilliant. Because usually, Spence, you go, oh, there's going to be one of them that we're going to drop some points.
Yeah.
So I like the positivity.
Because I'm a pessimist.
There's nothing better than being one of them, mate. But I've got to go for full house as well for once. So the pessimism is in full flow tonight. I genuinely think that we've got to be beating Cray. We've got to beat Haringey, Brightlingsea, Margate and Bognor. These are winnable games. And there's none of them that's... If we've beaten this previous 2 months where we've had some top teams and we've taken the amount of points we have, how can you say we're not going to take them against teams that we should be beating? And no disrespect to those teams, well, apart from Bognor. It's got to be done.
Yeah, we're starting to hit the part of the season as well where, as I've said earlier, the games are really coming thick and fast. Mm. And we've got the best depth of squad and quality of squad by far in the league.
Yeah.
And that will start telling soon.
Yeah, and if we can get those 15 points out of 15, then at the end of December, it wouldn't surprise me if we're back to the 8-point gap at the top.
We've still got Alex Parsons to come back, and that is a massive part of the squad. You know, he's a good player, and he adds that little oomph that we've maybe lacked occasionally. But I'm looking forward to it. I hope to God we come back on the first week of January to record our December in review, and we have that 15 points and that 8-point gap, as Pete's alluded to. Chaps, it's been a pleasure, as per usual. Thank you for all.
Well, we've got to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
I was going to say, it is. We hope you do have a Merry Christmas. Do we sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas or not?
No.
Okay, that was a definite 2-1. Outnumbered. Can't do it, guys. Obviously, go jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to see Worthing win away. Hey, there you go. Not a bad one.
No from me.
Oh, whatever. Just go back to your COVID bubble, Spencer. Take your negativity with you.
I'm going to spin my seat round.
There you go. For all those people that can't see, he's got his back to the screen right now. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for all our guests this month. Finn Harrison, Gemma, John, Hinch, Stu, and Nathan. And here to a Merry Christmas and 15 points and a Happy New Year. And beat the Bognor. Beat the Bognor scum, don't we say?
Yep.
Okay, leave it on that, Pete. Yeah, just yep. Yeah. There we go. Good night, everyone.
And there's Gary's impression of a horse. Well done, Gary. Thank you for your input.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.